Blog yep. Talk Radio.
Oh my God.
Cool Wellness Radio. I'm here to inform you how to have pain-free days and a healthy lifestyle. Cool Wellness Radio. I specialize in fitness and physical therapy. I'll tell you all our secrets. Wow, I'm feeling good today. Cool Wellness Radio.
Hello, hello. We are Cool Wellness Radio, optimizing your body's potential from the core. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Wednesday, April 15th, tax day. We are actually today going to be discussing the issue of burnout. A New York Times article came out, actually it was last year around this time, and we've circulated this on our social media pages, but it's focused on the concept of burnout and why this is happening so much. And the article really is more from a work perspective, and we're going to be talking about it generally. But I think we can all agree that the demand for our time is really just exceeding our capacity. We're drained. Increased competitiveness makes us feel even more pressured. Obviously, you know, digital technology is just always there and you know, constant requests, always able to get, you know, in touch with people. And so I think we do tend to get more burned out in work and in matters of life. And so we have Dr. E here to talk with us about this. Dr. E, are you there with us?
I sure am.
Thank you for joining us. I know this is something that you and I talk about a lot. The article is really looking at it from work perspective, and I want to touch on that a lot because I do think that's where a lot of the burnout is. But the fact is,
mm-hmm.
we get burned out in all aspects of life.
Definitely.
Caring for other people, caring for ourselves. You could get burned out on exercise. You could get burned out on eating well.
Mm-hmm.
think for purposes of the article, anyway, this is really more about sort of work, and so we'll touch on that. But I think we do want to, you know, just talk about, you know, burnout in general. Do you see a lot of patients that talk to you about just generally, you know, feeling burned out?
Absolutely. I think it's just part of everyone's day-to-day routine and sort of the autopilot that we all put ourselves in relative to our day-to-day schedule and the demands of home life and the demands of work life and trying to balance all those things. And if you're fortunate enough to have, you know, young children at home, oftentimes now that also means their schedules and obligations that they have to teams or schools or events. I mean, it's kind of nonstop. And I think
mm-hmm.
when we have all that stuff going on and there is a pull away from just being in the moment or really just, you know, doing one thing at a time, I think we burn out much more quickly because we're so overwhelmed with certain stimulation, whether it's reading something, listening to something, listening while talking to someone. I mean, it's just,
mm-hmm.
the perfect example is someone that that thinks like a treadmill desk is a good idea. And don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they're a completely horrible idea, but, you know, do you really need to be walking while you're reading something, while you're typing, while you're talking to someone on the phone and chewing gum?
Right.
Like, it's just unnatural.
Yeah.
Like it's unreasonable. And if you just think about, you know, the gift that you can give yourself by, you know, focusing on doing the task at hand and just the task at hand, it's amazing what happens both to our efficiency as well as
mm-hmm.
to how good we feel about doing it. Like if it's Parkinson's law, right, that you will fill the amount of time you've given for a certain task, right? So if you have a paper that's due, if you give yourself 4 days to write it, it's going to take you 4 days. If you give yourself 4 hours, you'll find a way to make it work within 4 hours, right? I think we
mm-hmm,
all probably
mm-hmm.
have been there at some point in our life when a deadline is quickly approaching, we got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely hear from patients all the time, mainly with there being as much traffic in this area,
mm-hmm.
is you have
yeah.
to account for that too.
It's exhausting.
And so, yes,
it is
it's
exhausting.
Always a conversation. The variety within the conversation is how we make it work for the individual because everyone's responsibilities are very different and how they manage that kind of stress. is also very different.
Yeah, a lot of balls in the air, a lot of different things to juggle between work and home life and you know, commuting. You know, that's just a whole other level of stress. I'd like to talk to you as sort of as the boss, but also as the employee. I'm going to actually read an interesting statistic that was from this article. It's from a 2013 Gallup poll. And it said only 30% of employees in this country feel engaged at work. So, I mean, you know, a lot of us just feel, and I don't count myself, but, you know, a lot of people out there, the vast majority, find work just to be depleting. It's not an enjoyable experience for them. It's really just something, you know, means to an end, just something, you know, that they have to do. As a boss, and also I want to talk about you as the person. You know, what are your philosophies on avoiding burnout, both for you and as somebody who has employees?
So I think from the beginning of things here in this practice, you know, having a good quality of life is important, right? Life is supposed to be enjoyable. It should be a pleasure to have the opportunity to work with patients as much or as little as you want, and to be someone that thinks that for myself and for my practitioners, you know, their spouses, their children, their obligations outside of work are just as important. And I talk about that with the practitioners, even when they come in for interviews. So from the get-go, you know, it's sort of it's a view on life that is important to me, and I expect it to be important to them. So, and for that reason, it's also very clear to them from the beginning that, you know, if you've got a little person at home that's sick and you need to stay home, that's where you need to be, right? Life is stressful enough, and we don't need to be adding to the pile. So, so I think that vibe is conveyed from the moment someone walks in here. And I try to do the same thing for myself, but just when we think we have it under control, I think we all tend to get in a pattern of, ooh, let me throw one more ball into everything that I'm juggling here. Let me put a little bit more on my plate, and making it that much more complicated. And that's when we burn out, is when we probably think we can handle more and we really shouldn't be doing that. So I think, whether it's a conscious choice or you just wait till you burn out, introspection is really valuable. So knowing what your sort of red flags are when you're about to crash, whether that's that you're just not sleeping well, you're not making time for exercise, you're not making time for intimacy, or even just making time to have routine communication with the people that you live in a house with, it's different for everybody. So you have to figure out what that is for you. But I think trying to stay on top of that as an individual is important. Maybe having those dialogues with people that are in your immediate tribe is important. So maybe that's people you work with. Maybe it's a sibling or a spouse or, you know, whoever. And letting them know that you're trying to be more mindful and you're trying to balance things so that you don't burn out, and give them the freedom to call you out on things when they start to see you doing things that are indicators that something needs to be adjusted somewhere.
Yeah. You know, and I do think we have a lot of obligations to other people, to our children, to our spouses, to our jobs, and certainly if you're taking care of another person, and I talk about caregiver burnout quite a bit. You know, how important is it to find something for you, whether that's exercise or a hobby? Do you find that also contributes? Is that there's just, you know, you talk about adding one more ball, but, you know, should that be something for you?
I think, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There are all these nice sayings, these generational sayings, right? Like that if mama's not happy, nobody's happy.
Right.
I think if we apply that to everyone and just say that we're better able to serve others when we make sure that we're serving ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean being selfish and that, like, everything's about me being me, but you do have to take some responsibility for making sure that your health is under control that you're doing things that you do have, that you do have a hand in making better, like your sleep habits, your eating habits, your activity level, so that you're in a nice grounded place to be available to serve others in whatever capacity that might be. And whether it's children or colleagues or strangers on the street, it doesn't matter. And I think we all can get in the habit of giving too much of ourselves to others that it ends up being sort of a self-sacrificing phenomenon. So for those people that are already giving so much of themselves to everyone and everything else, adding something like, oh, well, I really want to do yoga, so I'm going to add a yoga class, it might stress that person out a little bit too much for it to really have as much value as it holds in potential. So, you know, again, you have to come back to that moment of introspection and say, where am I on the spectrum of, can I add something for me, and does it give me joy to do that? Does it give me some rest? Does it, you know, does it feed me? Or is it just another drain?
Another to-do. Absolutely. Yeah, well, it appears that we may have lost Dr. E. Let's see if we can get her back. You know, I really am hoping to speak with her more about the kinds of things that she does in her own life. You know, we talk a lot about taking care of yourself, about making time for the things that matter to you. And sometimes, you know, we're just unable to do that. Dr. E, are you there?
I'm back. Sorry. Something happened.
Okay, great. Yeah. No. So I was actually just saying that one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is how we do often get into, you know, telling people they need to do these things, you know, you know, turn off your cell phone, you know, go for a walk and don't bring, you know, the smartphone with you. Try to be more mindful. And I wanted to know, do you personally ever, does it ever get hard for you? Do you ever find times you know, walking the walk is tough?
Walking the walk is super tough. Yeah, I'm trying to get much better about that. I think because I enjoy for my patients to be able to reach out to me through text, telephone, email, anytime they want, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to answer, like, immediately, but that's part of, like, I enjoy having that type of relationship with my patients and with my clients, because I think sometimes the greatest progress is made in those moments in between scheduled appointments. And sometimes you just need a quick answer and it's over, and either way, that's what works for me. But I do try to have boundaries around that. So if I, like on Sundays, I usually don't answer phone calls, texts, or emails, because that's my day.
That's a great little tip for people. That's a great little tip.
Or,
I mean, it works for
like
you,
after,
might not work for everybody, but that's a tangible tip. I like that.
And or even like there's a certain point in the evening where like no one should have their phone out. Right. And then, there was this great thing posted on Facebook this week. There apparently is this thing that looks like a pepper mill that when you turn it, it basically knocks out anything that's online or electrical. So like the TV goes down, the computer goes down, the phones go down. And while everyone in your house is freaking out, they're like, oh my God, Netflix is down and my iPhone isn't working and blah, 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 you do it when it's dinner time, right? So, like, everybody comes downstairs, they complain for 30 seconds, and suddenly, because nothing else works, there's nothing else available, you have this moment to connect with each other, and you can have conversations and have human time. So, you know, at some point, yes, we do definitely talk to people about taking things away from their life, rather than always adding things to their life. Because sometimes when you take things away, things are naturally added as a replacement that are better. So like turning your phone off, and I mean off, when the sun goes down. You know, like do you really care what somebody had for dinner that they're going to post a picture of? You can see it in the morning. right? It is captured.
Or not see it
Facebook.
At all. That would be fine.
Or not.
Pictures, I just
can. Right.
But yes,
I
get what you're saying.
That's right.
Maybe I'll miss
those. The point is, it's not urgent. You don't have to see it before you go to bed. That doesn't have to be
uh-huh.
the last stimulus you get before you go off to La La Land. You don't.
Right.
And so the same thing kind of happens with stuff. I'm reading this great book that a friend mentioned to me, and I guess it's really popular now because I started to look it up and it's being talked about in quite a few places. I apologize, I don't remember the title verbatim, but it's The Magic of Tidying Up or something
mm-hmm.
of that variety.
We could tweet it out if you want. Okay, right.
Yeah.
So people can
definitely.
Look it up.
So I'm starting to read it this week. So if anyone else out there is reading it and wants to talk about it, I would love to have dialogue about it.
Okay.
But it's kind of like go through your stuff based on category rather than location so that you can take an inventory of exactly how many books do you have. Like me, I love having new information around me, but I have all these superfluous books that I probably will never touch, let alone read. And her thing is if it brings you joy, you keep it. If you're using it, it probably is bringing you joy or serving you in some way, you keep it. If it's not, it goes. And it's amazing to think about how many things really aren't serving us. And
clutter.
So back to the, this is taking me back to the statistic that you were talking about people being unhappy and discontent in their job. I think people are discontent in life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of emphasis on materialism. There's a lot of emphasis on, you know, doing this and being this person or being seen as, you know, it's just a lot of, it's just
certainly.
A lot of pressure to be something that you're not, as opposed to like just be who you are, be in the moment, be with the people you're with, you know, be generous with sharing yourself with other people. Through conversation and good deeds, and you know, why isn't that enough?
Yeah, sure.
And
I think social media plays a big role in that too. Yeah,
I think it doesn't help because we tend to be in a position to present ourselves the way we want others to see us, and there's no way to know if it's genuine or not. I mean, half the people that I'm friends with are people I haven't seen in, you know, years. You know, many of them. I'm so fortunate. Many of them I've known since I was in preschool because we all went to school together for a very long time. And you still feel connected to these people even when you haven't seen them. Nothing can substitute that face-to-face, one-on-one, or group sort of vibe. I don't care how good Facebook gets or how good video, FaceTime, blah, blah, blah is. Nothing substitutes it. So I think when we're lacking that type of human connection, we become discontent in every area of life. We need,
and you don't even
need
really
that quality
know what's
time
real
with people
anymore.
We love and enjoy. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
well,
you don't even really know what's real.
Priorities are off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, the fact that we've, and I do it myself. I'm in no way, like, an expert on this. I'm in no way a master of making this reality all the time. The fact that we just, like, I just don't feel like going to lunch with so-and-so. Like, I'd rather just lay here and watch Netflix. Sometimes we all feel like that, right? We just don't feel like doing it. But the payoff, once you just push yourself outside of what feels comfortable, you get out of autopilot, man, it opens up a whole new world of experiences of being with people. I mean, that's what matters, right? You know, nobody cares that you scored whatchamacallit on such and such video game on that Thursday of that year. But they will remember that you were present at a picnic, at a cookout, at a game, at a whatever. That's where memories are made. And why aren't we focusing on more of that to give us a higher sense of quality of life? And therefore, we're in a better position to not burn out because we feel like we belong to a community or a tribe. We feel like there are people in our lives that care about us and people for us to care about. So our sense of self-worth increases as well. You know, for myself and you know, spirituality is important. And having that be a huge part of your life, can help with burnout too, because it's not just about you. There is a bigger picture
right
out there to,
right,
to focus
keep things
on.
In perspective.
You are a speck. You know, yesterday was the anniversary of the 270 women that were kidnapped in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a big social media wave talking about that and, you know, bring our girls back campaign, and there's a hashtag and all this stuff. Where are they?
Yeah.
Do we know? We don't know. And, you know, you think about those women. How much time has been spent thinking about them since it happened last year? I confess I haven't thought about them more than a dozen times maximum since
then.
Well,
you know, unfortunately, it's sort of like out of sight, out of mind. You know, you kind of get focused
right
on the next thing. I mean, that's, the social media, the media cycle.
Yeah.
And it is exhausting. And we don't put thought into things anymore.
And then we get self-absorbed, and, like, I haven't given them a thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean I'm supposed to think about them all the time, but it just comes back to, for me, it's important to remember that, you know, we're just a speck in the earth, and we are so
mm-hmm.
fortunate and blessed to have all of the access to things that we do here in the United States. But it is important for us to take care of one another, so that we don't burn out, so that we stay focused on the things that matter, which usually means taking care of one another, being good to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we can circumvent all, you know, we're talking about burnout. You can circumvent so much of it just by simplifying your life. Simplifying your
I think that actually leads us to another point. I wanted to kind of pivot, and we've got about 6 or 7 minutes left, because I think this is sort of important. Talking about the idea of burning out of things that are healthy for you, you know, I'm curious
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
know, do you ever find people, like, I think the Whole 30 is an interesting example. Do you
yes,
find people
perfect.
Who burn out, you know, of eating
yeah.
well? Do you find people who are like,
yeah.
I can't do this, like, you know, Pilates anymore. I can't, I'm so tired of being focused on, you know,
yeah.
Exercising. I just want to have a cheat month, or, you know, where does that
totally.
Play?
I think it all has to be done within reason, right? You know, if we have a lot of people coming off of Whole 30, the question is, well, what do I do now? How in the world do I possibly reintegrate into the normal spectrum of food choices when I know so much about how things make me feel and how bad
mm-hmm.
certain things are for me? And the general umbrella response I give to people is that if it serves you, that's great, right? If it's good for you, it's always going to be good for you. If it's bad for you, it's always going to be bad for you. And when you're making those choices that are closer to the bad for you end of the spectrum, you do that when it's worth it, right? You know, if you are at an event and there's a cookie tray and the cookies were made at, like, the local grocery store, and you know that they're not that good, but you really, like, it's a day you really want a sweet treat, don't waste it on the cookie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you
mm-hmm.
really want a sweet treat and you've had all good stuff that day, and, you know, it's time for a reward. You feel like, you know,
yeah.
I want one, great. I deserve one, great. You know, as long as that person isn't someone that has, like, an autoimmune condition or, like,
right.
you know, they're in a situation where, like, every little bit is important. There is,
mm-hmm.
we're not talking to those people right now.
That's
a different conversation.
Right.
Make it worth your while. Go to the bakery you like and get the sweet treat you really savor, that really brings you pleasure, brings you joy. If it's worth it for you to go, then you really deserved it. You know what I'm saying? If you're willing to get in the car, drive 15 minutes to get that particular frozen yogurt or whatever, or that new workout outfit, if that's your splurge, if it's worth it for you
mm-hmm.
to, again, get out of autopilot and take the extra effort to reward yourself, then by all means, you do
mm-hmm.
it.
Right. So it's not about just burning out of the unhealthy, but the tedious. You know, you're trying to do the right thing, and
right.
it can get tough after a while.
Yeah.
To always.
Well,
because
even autopilot is monotonous. Autopilot
mm-hmm.
can be autopilot things that are good for you. Variety is the spice of life. You know, my grandmother said that all the time. And, you know, you should have a variety of different experiences when it comes to your exercise routine. Or, you know, even for people that do have the autoimmune stuff, shake up the vegetables that you're cooking with. Okay? It might
not sound exciting
to hear me say that. It probably really doesn't. But simply by choosing a different vegetable, you know, you try a different recipe. There are different flavors. There's a different experience of texture of the food, smell of the food, taste of the food. How does your family react to it? It's a small change that can have lots of different different effects, lots of different waves that come off of that. So life should be exciting. You should be doing new things, trying new things, going new. Like, we went to Fredericksburg, Virginia over the weekend because we had never been there before. And it didn't take long to get there. But, you know, you're around different people and you're in a different – it's just give yourself the gift of learning new things, experiencing new things, and that includes everything in the health and wellness realm as well.
You have to keep it
something that you're going to stick with.
Right. Yeah, I think there's definitely something to be said for, you know, just flexibility too. And you know, this isn't going to work for whatever reason right now, or, you know, we're going to try something else. I think that, you know, that does add to variety, but it's also good to just step out of your comfort zone and try something else. And maybe just to give yourself a break too. You know, I find
definitely.
I talk to a lot of people who are very into, you know, and I'm into it too, organic, the non-GMO, but that can be exhausting. Sometimes you're like, I don't have time to go to the farmer's market and get the organic apples. I just got to get the apple. I mean, that's a part of the burden too, is trying to live to this, you know, this lifestyle that is demanding, but you know it's important. But maybe give yourself a degree of flexibility. I'm not going to be able to make it to, you know, to get the organic butter, but I'm going to, you know, I'm at the grocery store. I'm just going to get what I can get, and I'm doing the best
that's
I can.
That's right.
And let's just give ourselves a break here.
That's right. The 80-20 rule. You got to go with the flow. You can't be perfect all the time. Who wants to be perfect all the time anyway? You know, you just got to relinquish some of that control a little bit.
Well, I'm glad that we talked about this because I think we do a great job on the show of encouraging people to do the right things and to eat well and to take care of their bodies. But I think part of that is also knowing when to give yourself a break and you know, to not burn out and to look at the bigger picture and things like that. So I think this was a really worthwhile conversation. Along these lines, is there anything else you'd like to leave listeners with?
I would just like to, I want to invite people to have this dialogue with the people that they're around and just ask people, like, what do you do to decompress? Or, like, how do you get it all done? And if someone says, like, oh, the person that has it all under control or seems to, ask them. And you might find that they feel less in control than you think. So just have the dialogue, exchange some tips, maybe invite people to be vulnerable with one another and just be like, I don't. I'm overwhelmed. I'm stressed. And you may have just found your perfect partner to take a 10-minute walk with every Tuesday to just breathe. And so just share your experience with others and see what comes of it.
And you know, Dr. E and her practitioners are available at Core Wellness, and they're also great partners in all of this. So if you want to, you know, give them a call at the clinic, definitely do. They're at 571-403-2673. And then online, they're at alexandriaphysicaltherapist.com. We're on Twitter at the Delray PT and on Facebook under Core Wellness and Physical Therapy. I'll be sure to send out the information about that book that you mentioned, Dr. E. It sounds like it can be a great resource for people. Thanks so much again for your input. Always great to talk to you. And we hope everyone is well. Until next time.